thatgreatbusinessshow.com is brought to you by DeFacto Shaving Oil, the best anyone can get. Made in Ireland, sold worldwide.
Welcome to episode 58 of That Great Business Show, posting on the 22nd of October, 2021. I'm Conal O'Moran, and do please follow my Twitter account at ConalOM. Now, this episode should be subtitled That Great Giveaway Show, because later on we'll be telling you how your business can get not just a free tablet, but also how you can get free transaction costs on the first 5,000 euros worth of business done on the Square payment platform. All thanks to Big Red Cloud Accounting Software. But first we'll be talking quantum computers, and don't worry, as always, Team GBS has your back. We will be asking the dumb questions on your behalf, because we don't know what they're about either. But we do know that it could be the next big thing for business, and we also know that Nova UCD company Equal One is leading the world in one important aspect of their development. And now that Joe Biden has finally allowed us to travel to the States, we have the Queen of USA travel to tell us how best to do business in the States. We'll have her top tips, and she'll tell us why her business keeps winning every management award ever there has been out there. And we want to hear from you, so do please follow us on our LinkedIn page, and anyone at all can have a chat with us there. It's where we're now sourcing most of our great companies we feature on That Great Business Show. And as always, we are truly grateful to our wonderful sponsor, DeFacto Shaving Oil, makers of the world's best shaving oil. Their support brings you the best business stories and insights every week. And now that we are traveling again, their 25ml bottle of all-natural shaving oil is your ideal travel companion, and shipping is totally free for orders over 20 euro.
That Great Business Show.
Now, Alice has been working for the last 18 months at the Nova UCD site in University College Dublin. And that is important to know, because Alice, who's not a person, may be about to change the world. If you don't know, tech engineers have been toiling for eons to try to create a thing called a quantum computer that will be millions of times more powerful than those we currently use. And Alice is at the heart of that work, and that's about as much of the science as I'm going to go into. So, how close are we to a quantum computing world, and what could it mean for your business? Jason Lynch is COO of a relatively early stage company called Equal One that has raised a total of 10 million euro to date to further Alice's work. And Jason knows an awful lot about quantum computing. Welcome to That Great Business Show, Jason Lynch.
Thanks, Conal.
Alice, she sounds like one hell of a lady.
It is indeed.
What is Alice doing?
So essentially, the whole paradigm, I suppose, of quantum computing is that instead of using digital bits, so for classical computers, the whole infrastructure, everything we run our phones on is all built on bits, one or a zero. Quantum computing changes that, and it's all about qubits. So what we're trying to do with Alice really is the early measurements to prove out how those qubits behave, and the early steps to try to take some real-world useful problems and solve them.
And qubits are not that little fellow with the bow and arrow that shoots arrows through your heart. We're talking about qubits. Now, the big problem is that, let's not go into the science, is because qubits are, is it on-off, or off-on, and they're hanging around there, and they have to be down at some desperately cold level of heat or freezing.
Yes. So basically, they're extremely sensitive. So what we're trying to leverage is quantum mechanical behaviors. And like you say, we leave that to the quantum physicists. It's things like entanglement and superposition and these things that, you know, are pretty difficult to understand, but essentially it means that, you know, one qubit is aware of another and entangled with it. And that's what leads to this exponential rise in quantum, in computing power.
And speaking of the power, give me that kind of headline stuff about how or what these super, sorry, they're quantum, they're not super because that's different again.
Yeah.
Quantum computers may do because they're not there yet.
They're not there yet. Now, I mean, about a year ago now, Google came out with a big news story. And essentially what that said was, you know, a problem that would take thousands and thousands of years on a traditional computer was able to be solved in minutes. So really, you're talking about an enormous number of applications that would open up if we can do that sort of thing.
Is that a may be able to or is able to?
For that particular problem and that particular algorithm, they were, the announcement was that yes, they did prove that this problem was able, they were able to do it in minutes versus years.
And what is the small Irish startup called Equal One doing that has actually attracted attention from investors? And it's kind of exciting, really, what you're doing.
It is. I mean, it's extremely exciting. So I suppose the Irish link really is Professor Bogdan Szewski in University College Dublin. He's in the electronic engineering department and he's a co-founder of the company. And along with the other co-founders, they worked together, you know, 15 years ago in Texas Instruments in Texas. And our CEO really had the had a vision of building a real useful quantum computer ever since he did his PhD in quantum optics in Konstanz in Germany, you know, some years ago. we're certainly not just out of college. It's an experienced group.
Veterans, that's always a lovely word, isn't it?
Maybe. So he had the vision. They were together in Texas Instruments and looking at this. And at that point, the technology just wasn't ready. So what you need really, the way we're doing it, our unique value proposition is that we're doing the quantum computer on a standard commercial process. And we're using a single electron transistor to do the qubit. There are different technologies. Again, we won't get into the details of that. At that stage, they said, okay, it's too early. We just can't do this with the technology that's available. They went their separate ways. Bogdan went to Delft first, and then he, you know, got one of the SFI funding 5 years ago and moved to Dublin. And Dirk went through various companies and ended up in California. And the story, you know, whether this is 100% accurate, I like to tell the story that they met at one of the, you know, the big conferences for engineers, ISSCC in California. And there was a presentation by a fab company, and the fab companies are the ones who manufacture the chip. And when they saw the what the fab company was presenting, they said, okay, it's time to get the band back together here because we can now do what we wanted to do 15 years ago. And the technology is ready to build the qubits and integrate them into a quantum computer.
And I love the analogy with the band getting back together. It sounds just like that.
Yeah.
How come it's in Ireland? I mean, I hear what you say. It's because the professor gets the Science Foundation Ireland money and he lands here.
Mm-hmm.
But I presume that he and you and others could head for Silicon Valley or other places.
We could do. I mean, so first of all, I suppose two things there, right? We've had huge support from UCD themselves. I mean, we're a spin out of UCD. We've taken some of the IP that was developed and used that in the quantum computer. So we had huge support there. And the other big support was from Atlantic Bridge. So our
who are an investor,
a VC based in Ireland, huge support, very supportive. They have what's called a University Bridge Fund, and that really is for academic spin-outs, you know, high risk, highly ambitious. And they've been with us from day one. They participated in the last round and they've been hugely supportive of us. So really, I think that's that. And also talent, I would say, access to talent.
And I'm talking to the talent as I speak. So what was the big breakthrough?
Well, the big breakthrough in terms of why we, the big breakthrough really was the geometries that we can now do on chip that we weren't able to in the
past.
Now
explain that to me. I'm sitting beside you on the bus.
Sure.
Last time I saw a geometry set was probably in Bliana Cahir, which was a few years ago.
Sure. So I think most people would be aware of Moore's Law, right, which is sort of the decreasing size of transistors and the increase in density. And that's been gotten from technologies that have enabled us to get smaller and smaller geometries. And really, that's the key. What we need for a qubit, because essentially what we're doing with a qubit is we're manipulating a single electron. And in order to manipulate this electron, it's extremely small. You need to move the geometry in. We have this, what's called a quantum well, and you're confining the electron in that well. And 15 years ago, the geometry was so large that there would be thousands of electrons in the well. We've now shrunk it such that we can actually now manipulate just that one single electron in the well.
Who owns the knowledge?
In terms of...
I'm thinking, maybe it's just because I saw the James Bond movie the other day, is that I'm thinking of the nasty people, the bad people coming to rob your great research.
Mm. Well, actually, we had a very nice plaudit yesterday or the day before. There was a webinar, and actually, we're the 20th most prolific patent producer in quantum in the world. We're up
when
there.
You say we...
Equal one. So the company has... We have... I think we're now at 18 issued patents all around how we do the qubit. And and really it's a mix. It's this really interesting mix of knowledge about the transistors, because it's very much a real estate thing about, you know, you need to know how the transistor is built in order to confine it. Knowledge about silicon electronics, but also then the physics on top of that, and then the software on top of that again.
So give me a bit of hype. What could your research deliver, be it in 2, 3, 5, 10 years?
Sure. So, I mean, the applications that excite me most, I suppose. So sort of the whole drug discovery and the biology knowledge area, I think, is one, right?
Why? What could it do?
So, for instance, if you look at how drugs are done today, the companies have to go off and test, physically make these molecules and test to see if they last. And that's because we don't have computers to simulate how it would how they react in the real world. So there's billions and billions spent on, you know, testing molecules to figure out which one is the one that will be the most effective with the least side effects and the one that will work for a drug. We could potentially do that on a quantum computer. So instead of having to spend billions, we would actually simulate how the molecule interacts. And, you know, potentially save billions, bring new drugs to market on a much faster scale. So
much faster being?
Well, potentially.
I know it's all in the air, but...
I mean, I think really what it means is, you know, the trials that these drug companies do could be shortened from, you know, 4 or 5 years, maybe to you have a candidate drug that you've proven on the quantum computer, and therefore you only, you know, you may be shorten it by four, you know, maybe it's a year rather than the 5 years that we need to do today.
That'll be okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, talk me through, we all know our laptop sitting on our desks. Then there is the thing called the supercomputer, and then there will be the quantum computer. What's the difference between a super and a quantum computer?
Sure. So supercomputers today, essentially most of them take advantage of huge parallelism, right? So you're basically taking a very powerful single GPU or, and then you're massively paralleling that up so that you feed different parts of it, and that gives, you know, big advances. But there's a reduction in the gains you get as you add on more parallel paths because you have more overhead. Quantum computing really, again, changes that. You would basically be sort of starting from a new plateau and building up to millions of qubits and again, doing things that, you know, really we can only imagine today.
And what do you imagine when Jason is going to sleep at night? What is he dreaming of that he could do with his qubits?
Well, I really think, I mean, the one analogy I like to use is the length of time from, you know, the Nokia 3310 has been in the news, and the length, you know, you put that up beside an Apple iPhone, and that it's only 20 years since we've had the Nokia 3310.
And even then, because I was actually thinking about that as I was driving up here, is that back when that Nokia was launched, nobody imagined what a phone would do now.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, none of us could have imagined Uber or all the things that unlocks. So, you know, I think there is huge potential. I think we can only dream as to what we...
But I'm asking Jason, sure. What does he dream of? Because somewhere in your head, you're thinking, geez, you know what? This could do X. That's something I haven't obviously thought of because I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Sure. Well, one thing that you could imagine something like that being is a sort of a your second brain, right? So you would have part of our, again, value proposition is that we can make these things very compact. And, you know, Dirk, our CEO, the vision is to democratize quantum computing and make it available to everybody. So you could imagine this helping you with difficult decisions, you know, I mean, that you could just imagine this thing taking in a ton of input and being your second brain, essentially.
And that is it in a nutshell, really, isn't it? That the amount of data that it can handle is beyond vast.
Exactly.
Is it finite or is it infinite?
You're probably getting into a philosophical realm.
Okay,
that is maybe, I mean...
above your pay grade, as they say.
I think it is finite. I mean, I think it is finite. There is a... but again, that's... I'm not a quantum physicist and wouldn't claim to be one.
The people like Atlantic Bridge and others who have invested in you want their money back, which means that they believe that you're going to go places and go big. As they say, go big or go home. How big can you go, and how and when?
So we're very excited about how quickly we can actually move, and that's really because of the choices we've made. Again, we're on a process that exists today. You know, there's a big, a race on in terms of there's lots of different ways of doing these qubits, and I guess our approach is one that is cost effective, small, and we can move fast. So really we're looking at within the next 2 years to be able to do something that really is useful to somebody that would have an application like this. I think it's exciting. I will just to add on to the Atlantic Bridge side, we've just closed a round. And we have a new investor, a German investor called B2V. You know, that's been, they're a very strong deep tech investor. So Atlantic Bridge and Enterprise Ireland have been with us from the start. And just actually in the last, the end of September, we closed that new round with this new investor.
And you have 808 as well, haven't you?
We have 808, who are an Australian.
You better give shout outs to all of them.
Absolutely.
They're the money tree.
Yeah, absolutely.
And will you, or can you survive on what you've raised to date, or is there another shake of the tree coming up?
No, I think there will be. We will need more funding. I mean, this is basically what the current round. So we have our third test chip just come back from fabrication, and what this
month... Sorry, let me just hone you there.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very valuable piece of chip. How does that travel? Just my curiosity. Do you put it into your pocket and walk from here to the airport, take a flight or do whatever? I don't even know where it was sent.
It's basically shipped in fairly standard, you know,
I'm sure it's worth millions if it works.
absolutely. It's shipped in a standard flat pack sort of...
Be careful out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember, they used to rob chips over at the airport, didn't they?
And with the shortage, it's
even more valuable.
It's even more valuable. So we have our third test chip back. We're building a prototype of the next one, which is called Aquarius. So Alice was our server rack mounted machine. Aquarius is the next.
Alice has not been fired, is she?
No. And there'll be, you know, there'll be one version which will be for the cloud and large servers. There'll be another version which will be smaller and for, you know, potentially personal use.
Get away.
Yeah.
I saw that written. Yeah. But someday my laptop might be a quantum computer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
and
with this
Dublin or Ireland or you may have something or had something to do with it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome.
I mean, that is massive.
Yeah. So with the funding, we will do the first prototype of that. It'll plug into the wall. It'll, you know, it's workstation size. And then really what we want to do with the next round, which we will probably be looking at raising in the middle of next year, is to do the chip that will be our first product, right? And we're calling that Bluefin. And that will be basically looking at extremely high-density quantum machine learning applications.
But of course. Is there not possibility for you to IPO?
Absolutely.
No, and I mean early.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
you're
this
on a journey.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a couple of companies, and IonQ has just actually gone IPO through one of these SPACs in the US at a $2.5 billion valuation. So they do an alternative qubit technology. I mean, I think this is a really interesting space. It's a very interesting time because it's been in research labs and in academia for decades, and we're now at that inflection point where it's coming out into commercial reality. So it's an exciting time.
In years to come, I might have been talking to the Steve Jobs of quantum computing. That's you.
Well, not me, probably our technical gurus would be more. It's very exciting. It is.
I knew Michal Whelan at Nova told me that this was exciting, but the more I chat to you, the more I say, okay,
yeah,
something
is.
Big is happening. What could Team GBS, that's us, anything we could do for you?
Well, I think, you know, having...
Round of applause.
I think getting the story out there, you know, we've been in relative stealth mode with our heads down building Alice for the last number of years. We're just coming out.
The audience is minuscule at the moment.
It is. Now, I mean, one thing, you know, we're looking at hiring, a lot for the...
What are you looking for? Engineers?
Engineers. We will eventually be looking for software people, sales, marketing people eventually, you know, not that far down the road. So we've
got to hire somebody called Alice.
Yeah. So we're at 17 people today.
Yeah.
12 of those are in Ireland. And, you know, we'd look to double the Irish team, the total team in the next year, and then, you know, hopefully double again. So, you know, we'd be looking at being, you know, 50 people here within a couple of years.
Will they get a cut of the action? If I was an engineer and I heard about what you're telling me, I'd want a cut of the action, please.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Happy days.
Happy days, yeah.
Oh, I have to still ask you, you're higher in a heartbeat.
Yeah, so actually you alluded a little bit to it. I mean, part of, I mentioned... we have the vision of democratizing quantum computing, and our CEO often says he wants to be the Apple of quantum computing. So Steve Wozniak would be, you know, in a heartbeat.
As they say.
I mean, I think, again, as you mentioned, there's huge parallels as to where we are in quantum computing as compared with where Apple was in those early days, and having having Steve Wozniak advising, Steve, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on the advisory
board. Steve never gets off the phone to me. He just
so
wants
please,
to be.
Just,
he keeps asking to come on, but
tell him how exciting this is, and we'd love to have his wisdom.
I could see that. I mean, I have to ask you this question. You probably won't give me an honest answer. Of course you'll give me an honest answer, but you might deflect. Are any of the big boys talking to you already, like the Apples or the...
Well, I mean, all of the big boys are interested in the space.
he's a carry man. Before.
Well, we are in a DTIF program. So we won a Disruptive Technology Innovation Fund, which is an Irish government fund to stimulate this type of disruptive technology. It's an 80 million euro fund over 4 years. We won a project. It kicked off a year ago. IBM are in that project. IBM Research, MasterCard Labs are in it, UCD, ourselves, Tyndall. So that's a project that has us working with IBM, and our door is open for anybody.
So they are ahead of the curve.
Our door is open for anybody who'd like to have a conversation.
Fantastic story. Jason Lynch, COO of Equal One. Thank you very much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Thank you, Conal.
Thinking of travel? If so, make sure to make Defacto, the world's best shaving oil, your choice of travel companion. A 25 milliliter bottle of Defacto means no hassle at airports, no bulky cans to carry, and the guarantee of the world's best shave. DefactoShave.com.
Everyday accounting can be a bit of a drama for SMEs. However, BigRedCloud.com takes the drama away with its simple and easy-to-use cloud-based accounting and payroll software designed for SME owners. Raise and send invoices, manage VAT reports and obligations, run management reports, link directly to Irish banks, automatically import purchase invoices, and so much more. All with 5-star customer support. BigRedCloud.com, 100% Irish-owned and a proud member of Team GBS.
Backing great women-led businesses on every show.
I was going to have a long chat with my next guest about why her company keeps winning every prize ever given out for best managed companies. But something changed since I invited Mary McKenna, founder of Tour America, to join Team GBS. That most welcome change is that the borders to the world's biggest economy, the USA, have been opened up to us again. And so the battle cry of Team GBS can ring out once again to get off the island. It's time to bring your services or products to North America. So I'm going to be opportunistic and ask Mary McKenna for her favorite hacks when traveling in the US. Mary McKenna, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you, Conal. Delighted to be here this afternoon.
Now, we won't get straight into the hacks, is what I do have to find out. You keep winning every best managed company. That doesn't just happen. How do you manage it?
Well, you know, it's actually quite simple. I really have a very good team. Seriously have a very good team.
You had to create that team.
Thank you. But I found really special, very talented people. And I think as a leader, I would always challenge the business saying, we have to raise our standards. So it's like fine tuning it, making it better, learning from our customer feedback. And I think that's the trick about it really is listening to your customer and what they have to say, truly listening to them.
You told me just a few minutes ago off air that only, was it 1.7% remember if you do them a favor or do anything good?
Yeah, it's what's pretty low.
What's the point?
Well, you know, I think the point is you should always do the right thing. And it's just ingrained into me. It's a customer. Without a customer, I have no business at all. And I like to treat a customer like I treat myself or how I like to be treated. So I really go into the shoes of a customer. And I think that's really important. I think a lot more companies should look at themselves. And it's something that we really pride ourselves on doing, good customer service.
And a lot of companies would say that they do it and would wish to do it better. But what are you doing now? Just give me two examples of to what extent do you go to really, really engage with those customers?
Yeah, so it's about training your staff to listen. It's about training your staff to go that step, one step further, and really saying it's not about the sale. It's about keeping that customer and getting them back a second time, a third time, a
fourth
time.
Which is about the sale.
Yeah, but you know, like you see, most people go after the first sale and they don't care after that. We're not really interested in the first sale. We want the customer for life. We want them to say, that was a really good company. I'm going to book with them again. That's our blueprint. That's what we want. And we actually really want them to go away and have a really good holiday. And that's not to say sometimes things go wrong. And that's where I get involved. And we always put up our hands if something goes wrong and says, okay, really sorry, you know, or your flight was delayed or whatever. There's things that are outside your control as well. But we're human beings, so people make mistakes at times. And I think we accept our mistakes and we make sure we learn from our mistakes. But overall, it's a company that I'm very proud to see that customers do give feedback. I posted one today. It was lovely. It makes me very happy.
Very positive. I was on your website. I mean, your customers do love Tour America.
Yeah, I think they know because we really go through everything in detail. We listen to them. We give them good feedback. We say, oh, would you try this? Would you try that? And then we're on the journey with them. Like we have an office in Orlando. Now, we haven't been open, as you know.
Which I'm going to get on to. Was there a huge celebration, like a 4th of July celebration in the office on the 8th of October?
For the 8th of November.
Yeah,
there was. Look, for the team, it was really exciting because, you know, we've been working for a year and a half. Now, I have to say, working, okay, not like any other business. You know, we had no income coming in since March the 18th. I'll never forget it, closing all our offices, two in Dublin, one in Cork.
That's March 18th, a year and a half ago.
2020. And, you know, so have no income, no business, and we actually had to give back all our money that we took in 2019. But we still had all our customers to take care of. Actually, in the first 2 weeks, I had to bring all my staff in to do overtime to deal with all the busy calls of people stuck in the States or on cruises, because we have a cruise holidays brand as well. So we did a really good job, but that was really tough for the business and for the staff to work and see no income coming in. We haven't had income since then.
How tough was it for the boss? The boss being Mary McKenna.
You know, if I'm being very honest, I think the first 2 weeks were tough. I either got COVID or was having a meltdown. Now, nobody knew that. I was like a swan on a lake and the legs were going crazy underneath. But I have to tell you, Conal, the most important thing for me is I've had a lot of experience of ups and downs and knocks. So, you know, we had the tragedy of September the 11th. We've had ash cloud. We actually, the snow a couple of years ago helped us as well because we were able to set everybody to work from home. So we were able to adapt very fast. And
I think... Is this the beast from the east?
Yeah,
is that what
yeah. But like, you know, I remember walking in the snow.
Silver lining, clouds.
Well, it makes you make your business resilient. So as a business person, the only thing I know is there's ups and downs. Mm-hmm. And how do you go through the good days and the bad days? So what was really important for the business is it was run as a business. And I think from all the experience I learned, it's really important to have a good amount of cash in the business. We've never taken out a loan from a bank. We don't have a loan to this day. So we're in very good financial shape. And so that was really important. So we went through a year and a half of no income, but we got through it and we're stronger and better company for it.
And business is...
Business is going really well, I'm glad to say. So, you know, I'll give you an indication of what today is Thursday. On Monday, I compare like for like. So I went back to 2019, looked at that same day. What bookings did we take in?
Well, you do
and we had three times the same. So,
well done.
So that was great. Now we have a good bit to go, but we're about 20% behind now, right now as it stands. And so I'm really hoping 2022 looks good. 2021 is a write-off. 2020 was a write-off. But there's a really good interest. And the problem is now is there's a huge interest in the States, but there's less capacity of flights, so the flight prices have gone way up.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
But
try and go to Europe now.
but you don't have a European operation yet.
Well, we do cruises.
But you don't, you know, you're not doing the flights and all.
Oh, we do flights and all. So we have a brand called Cruise Holidays, which I set up after September the 11th. It's the number one seller of cruises in Ireland and Northern Ireland. That's a good story, actually, how I set up Cruise Holidays.
Well, tell me.
Well, picture this. First of all, I lived in the States when I was young. My parents got married in the States. So I have quite an affiliation with America. And my youngest sister worked with me. She was the GM. We went across the road to Arnott's, which I go for a latte every morning. And we saw the TV screens. And it was awful.
This is 9/11 now.
9/11, yeah. And it was awful. It shaked everybody in this country. And it was horrendous. I still... get shivers in my back when I think of it. A couple of days later, I realised that no phones ringing, nothing. So nothing happened for 3 months. It stopped overnight. And I remember my sister saying to me, "Oh my God, that's your business gone." And I really kind of felt sorry for myself. And I was like going, I had 43 staff at the time and I had to let go of 11 of them. Now, that was the hardest thing I ever did. Ever was meeting these people who are really good and saying, "I'm really sorry. We just don't have the business." And literally I cried talking to every single one of them. Now, the good side of this is 3 weeks later, I saw these specials coming in by fax. It was fax in those days for cruises. And I said, "Let's just set up Cruise Holidays," a brand called Cruise Holidays. And that brand turned over 6 million in the first year. And I took those staff back as well, which I'm most proud of.
6 million. Happy days.
Yeah, so we were the first. Cruiseholidays.ie is part of Tour America. It's a great brand. We're the number one seller of cruises and they really complement our business in North America. But also equally, we're actually selling a lot of European cruises. So we sell cruises worldwide and it's a great holiday.
I love the way you get the ad in.
It is a great holiday, though. I was on one a couple of weeks ago. Imagine this, a Norwegian cruise line ring me up and said, "Look, Mary, we're going to give you a two-bedroom suite. Would you go on a cruise for 5 days and just experience it as a customer?" And I went, "Okay, I'll do some videos," good, "whatever." It was fantastic. It was a very easy process. So I had a great time. I didn't work that hard.
A two-bedroom penthouse or whatever you're in.
I had a great time.
It was gorgeous. Come here to me. Let's get down to business. All of your hacks, you told me you've got 100 or 1,000 hacks of when you're trying to do business or get around in any of the major centres. Give me New York, Boston, where people go to do business.
Okay, well, I think the first most important thing on tips, and I presume when you say hacks, it's tips. So the most important thing is, first of all, to book your flights early. So remember, flights come out 11 months prior to departure. And the only way those flights go after they come out is up. So you book it early, and with us, you can just pay a deposit. You can change your dates if you want. So the most important thing is to book it very early. The second thing is, if you're going to the States, it is really important to look at the direct service. For example, if you're going to San Francisco, that just makes life very easy. Now, there are alternatives. You can go via London to San Francisco. And sometimes that works out cheaper because the direct flights tend to seek more money. The other thing is...
The flights from Dublin to London, then you've got a 2 or 3 hour layover, then you pick it up again.
You've got to weigh that up. But, you know, if you've got a family of 4 or 5 kids, it can add on about 600 or 700 euros.
We're talking about business here. So the kids aren't coming this time.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Well, Iceland, that's gone now, isn't it? They're no longer flying. The stop off in Iceland and then
to Reykjavik. So look, from a business point of view, it's the same thing. You book your business class fare.
Nobody can afford unless you're making millions.
Absolutely. It's not actually. We have really good net fares to go business class, and I think it's.
But hang on a second. Now, you cannot get it cheaper than booking if I go directly to say Aer Lingus.
Yeah, I can at times. I have really good net fare because the airlines give me fares a year out. Okay, well, the 11 months out or whatever. And they are special fares that are locked in that we book. So
do you have to pay for those?
No, I don't have to pay until I issue the ticket. But for example, I was looking at, I was supposed to go to Miami this week and I was able to look and I looked at a business class fare and it was 1,800 euros on American Airlines. That's really good return business class fare. And the economy ticket was 1,000 euros. So I went, "Oh my God, for 800 euros, that's well worth going in business class." Now I had to go via New York on that.
Terrible.
Yeah.
So look, what are the little, I never knew about this thing that you have your own fares.
Yeah, we have really good fares and in particular for business class. So we would have done a lot of the business class trip for EY, the EY Entrepreneur of the Year. So we went to Hong Kong the last time, so we were able to get them really good fares. And that's a great trip, I have to say. Very honoured to be a part of that alumni group.
You had to travel there as well.
Of course I do, yeah.
How much time do you spend in Ireland? Are you kind of an offshore tax exile or something?
I'm a real Irish girl. I love Ireland. I'd never live anywhere else. I just...
keep going on your hacks.
Yeah. Okay. So... The other thing is, as well, your ESTA form, it's really important to have that completed. Now, I would say do it 2 weeks prior to departure, but don't leave it any longer. That costs $14. Do it on our site if you can. Don't, there's loads of different sites, so make sure you go on to a legit site. So we have that on touramerica.ie. You can go on. And the other thing is then when you're flying on one of the airlines from Dublin or Shannon, you're clearing customs and immigration. So that is a real benefit. You're not arriving in to, you know, if you've gone to the UK or whatever, you're not arriving into the States absolutely knackered and then having to queue for 2 hours to go through immigration. So I think that's really, really important.
Doing business in New York is extremely expensive for one particular reason, besides the food, accommodation. Yeah. How can you get around that?
Well, we have very good net fares on accommodation.
This is rapidly becoming the Tour America big fat ad.
I'm telling you the truth. So the most important thing is we have direct relationships with a lot of these hotels. So another hack, as you call it, it's a new word for me. I feel I'm hacking into something. But another hack would be, you know, when you're on to us, don't always go for a standard room. Like if you're going on business, look at what the room rates are. It could be, you know, $20 more you get onto the seventh heaven, it's called, you know, where you get your free breakfast or your free coffee. There's a lot of that stuff going on in hotels. So I think that's really, really important to upgrade your room and look at what other categories you have.
Hiring a car.
I wouldn't hire a car in New York anyway, that's for sure. You just get a taxi.
So, I've driven around New York.
Well, you're one of the very few. I've driven around New York as well.
It's not that difficult.
Yeah, but I wouldn't recommend Irish people. I think it's, you know, if they're not used to...
the feeling that you're in the movies.
It's kind of crazy driving over there. Those taxi drivers are mental.
Yeah, and you could be more mental.
Well, did you enjoy driving in New York?
I know. Another little hack I learned many years ago is to out-crazy the crazies. Buy yourself a $2 beret or berry and you pull it down and you look mad and nobody ever comes near you.
Well, we don't sell too many cars in New York, and that's being honest with you. We would get that hugely in Orlando because you definitely need a car.
We're not doing business in Orlando. We're going to do business in either New York. All right. Or in Boston or San Francisco.
Yeah.
So anything, any other little...
Well, if you're going to San Francisco, you definitely have to fly direct. That's a must, you know, even if it costs more. I think, you know, there's an 8-hour difference. I think people forget that your body needs to really rest. And I know when I go to the West Coast, it takes me 3 days to acclimatise. So I think it's really important that you're very aware of what... that jet lag has on your body. And again, you know, you've got to stay in a 5-star hotel if you're going on business class. And in particular in San Francisco, I'll tell you why.
Every financial controller of every company is tearing their hair.
I'm telling the truth, honest to God. Because in San Francisco, you have the situation, you've got these most beautiful hotels, but you have actually a lot of, I don't know, they're from the vets, war where they're kind of like, it's like down and outs, but they're, you know, it's a really sad story, but they are around all the hotels. So in particular for Irish people, the most important thing is safety. Honest to God, really important. So if you're going to San Francisco, you've got to go location wise. And that does mean, I'm afraid, 5-star hotels, where in New York, you can have 3-star, 4-star, 5-star. But in San Francisco, I definitely think you really... And the price is much cheaper than New York anyway.
Any tips on internal travel, traveling from Boston to New York, New York to whatever?
Yeah, I'd be very careful with internal travel because, you know, it's a bit like Ryanair. If you know what I mean, because they're charging you for everything. So you come off a transatlantic flight unless you've booked it as, you know, like a Delta Airlines, Dublin, New York, New York to San Francisco. But if you booked that yourself, you're going into a Ryanair scenario where you're only allowed this amount of baggage and they charge you for everything. So look, if you're going internally in the States, there's flights every 10 minutes everywhere. It's like massive. And you have all the different internal airlines like JetBlue, Delta Airlines. They're all huge. So, but think of it like internally, domestically within the States, it very much is a Southwest Airlines, a Ryanair type model.
Best to ask advice is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And you need to book your seats. You need to know what your baggage allowance is. They're only small tips, but they're really important tips. Like, you can't come off a transatlantic flight and have 20 kilos or 20 pounds of baggage, and that's included, and then go and have booked a domestic flight, and you're now down to you can only take hand luggage. So it's really important to have that right. And every state is so different in America.
Like, really?
Oh my God, like culturally they're different.
No, I appreciate that, but in terms of traveling to them,
well,
surely.
No, it's just you've got every airline is different, mm-hmm. you know, so you've got to, so, you know, that's why there's travel agents, because it isn't easy. You, we've got to read the rules and regulations when we're looking at this and booking it and make sure we have that right for our customer. That's why there's a need for us.
What kind of training do your people go through?
It takes 2 years to train a salesperson in a travel agent. That's honest to God truth.
And when you say train?
Like, to get them to learn all your hacks. Really, because it's just, and we're very niche and specialist, you know, we're North American cruises, but they're the attention to detail things they need to know. And of course, the most important thing for a customer is that you're booking with a licensed and bonded travel agent or tour operator,
yeah.
Because your money's always protected. And let me just tell you why that's important. For example, in Florida, there are a lot of hurricanes in the month of September or October, or you can come across one or two. I got stuck in one. But, you know, if something happens like that, a travel agent or tour operator has the responsibility, the legal responsibility to make sure to get you home or put you up. They have to take care of you if it's a package holiday. So it's a really important thing for business travelers or leisure travel.
Are tour operators allowed to operate without being bonded in
no,
this country?
Not in Ireland.
So therefore, it doesn't really apply,
but
does
a
it?
Lot of people book online. Like, you know, like a lot of, when COVID happened, a lot of Irish passengers booked with Love Holidays and they're a UK company. They couldn't get through to them. They don't, they're not covered under Irish law. So what would I explain? Is it like, I'm trying to think of something that's similar, but it's just, it's outside of Ireland. So stick to Irish companies is what I'd say, if you can.
What about other little unknowns that we should know about? Anything else?
Unknowns. Well, I actually think the most important thing, if you're going to the likes of New York, is take a good pair of runners and walk the cities, because that's the way you get to see it. Don't be going in a car and driving. And there's so much to do. And it really, when you walk and you see different places, I just think you get a totally different feel. I walked the length and breadth of New York the last time I was there, which is probably 3 years ago now. And that was just amazing. So I think, even if you're going on business, take a pair of runners and maybe walk the streets instead of getting in your taxi or driving a car.
I have walked every square inch of Manhattan.
The other tip I would say is, as well, if you have a Revolut card.
Now this is interesting.
Yeah, yes. So very important. So the rate of exchange right now is 116 versus your euro. And so if you're going to the States, with the Revolut card, they allow you put 1,000 euros onto your, put 1,000 euros onto your account. And then when you get there and you get to a shop, you can write at the check-in, just transfer that into dollars. And they give you the rate of exchange that it is at the moment. So if it's 116, they give it to you at 116. If you use your credit card, you're losing probably 2 or 3%. So it is a lot of money. So if you're buying stuff, you don't use your credit card, use your Revolut card and get the rate of exchange. Or if you see it going up to like 118, 120, take some dollars with you. That's good value.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I like that one. Yeah. Anything else? This is good.
Anything else? Well, I'm just thinking of things that I do.
You do it because you do it.
I think the
Does
other,
th-
well, I think, so I do it as an experience as well. So if you're going to the airport, so here's some hacks for you. Let's say you're very busy and you're a business traveler and you've got a meeting in Dublin and you just need to get to the airport and get on that plane. Well, there is a service called the Platinum Service at Dublin Airport, VIP service. It's about 150 euros per person. And they literally, you just drive up to the old airport, where the old airport was. They take your car off you. So the 150 includes your car parking. They check you in, VIP check-in, and they bring you on a lovely BMW, is it a Merc or a BMW, black ones, straight to the plane. So they walk you right up to the plane. So that's a really good service. Most of the superstars use it. But a lot of business people use it.
You live the life of the Queen of England.
I don't use it. No, hold on. I don't use it. I was shown it. I don't personally use it because actually I like to shop in the duty free. So here's another tip for you. So I go to the airport early. I buy the fast track lounge. So that's €8 and you go through the fast track. That makes a massive difference as well. I think that's really important. But I also get, there's because I travel quite a bit, I get this card, which is the Dublin, the Loop card. I think it's about €150 for 6 months. Now, here's the thing, Conal. It is gives you 10% off any purchase you get at the airport and you get the fast track included. So I can bring my whole family through on the fast track. But I don't get to shop anywhere. Like, I know I'm here in Dundrum, but I never get to shop. So I do my shopping at the airport.
You're across the road from Arnott's, is where
I know, but I
are.
Still don't get that's a coffee. So I go and buy my creams, my perfumes, and I get 10% off in the Loop. So I, you know, after two or three travels, I made my money back. So that's a very good service as well. I do think it's really important to ensure you have fast track. Now, of course, if you're going business class, you got that anyway. And Aer Lingus have a lovely lounge and the Loop have a lovely lounge or Dublin Airport have a lovely lounge. So again, you know, if you want to have breakfast there, whatever, that is fantastic. So I truly enjoy the airport. And I'm not just saying this, I actually enjoy the journey and get there early. And if you're going transatlantic, you need to be there 3 hours before.
And the joy is that we're finally allowed to do it again.
I know, isn't it great?
It is brilliant. Great. Really,
I'm very excited,
really great.
Yeah.
Listen, that now was very interesting and insightful. And we love that on That Great Business Show. One further small thing we ask people is, who would you hire in a heartbeat?
I have to say, for fun, for the way she's helped our business, Aileen Hickey. She's a great girl. She's done loads of videos. She's a really good customer. She's a really good friend. She makes me laugh. And I would be absolutely hire her.
And Aileen Hickey is, you have to explain, she's multifaceted, to say the least.
Absolutely.
Former journalist.
Barrister.
Former barrister again. Yeah. I'm not sure if
she's
still
children, great mom. Very involved, like, because I know her personally.
Wife,
like,
of Matt Cooper of Today
wife
FM.
Wife of Matt Cooper. But she is such a good mom. Like, she's been involved in all the schools with the kids. She's a great tennis player. Very competitive now. Really competitive.
And a most interesting take on fashion.
Oh, that's what I love. She's authentic. She's herself. I love people like that.
Biggest shoes ever.
Yeah, she's great fun. Love being in a company.
Hickey, you are hired. Mary McKenna wants you and she wants you now. Mary McKenna, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Thank you so much, Conal. Thank you.
Everyday accounting can be a bit of a drama for SMEs. However, BigRentCloud.com takes the drama away with its simple and easy to use cloud-based accounting and payroll software designed for SME owners. Raise and send invoices, manage VAT reports and obligations, run management reports, link directly to Irish banks, automatically import purchase invoices and so much more. All with 5-star customer support. BigRentCloud.com, 100% Irish owned and a proud member of Team GBS.
Viscosity. When you shave, you want the highest viscosity because it helps the blade run smoother. DeFacto, the world's best shaving oil, has incredible viscosity. That's why DeFacto leaves your face, underarms or legs nick-free. Higher viscosity makes blades last longer. DeFacto is the best for your skin and your pocket. DeFactoShave.com.
The dictionary definition of plamos says it loosely means flattery, but more so praise used to butter or soften someone up, manipulate them or bend them to one's will. Well, I got a lovely email recently from someone who said that, as a father of four daughters, I love the push you give women in business. So being the softy that I am, I succumbed to Mark O'Dwyer's plamos. Many of you will know that Mark is boss at accountancy software company Big Red Cloud, and today he has brought with him his COO, Catherine Lockhart, because they have lots of news as well as lots of goodies to give away, including free tablets and free transactions for the first €5,000 worth of goods or services your business will sell on the Square payment platform. Naturally, T's and C's apply, and I won't get into them because I could be here for the rest of my natural. Catherine Lockhart and Mark O'Dwyer, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you very much for having us.
Catherine, your first time on a podcast, first time on radio, first time on ever.
It is, absolutely, yeah. So
are
a little bit nervous.
We are happy people here. Mark, You've never been, no, you've been on very often.
I have, Conal. Yes, thanks very much for that nice introduction as well.
Oh, well, we like you very much because you have come laden with gifts. Who wants to tell the listeners about how they can collect the money off the 5,000 quid or get a tablet? Or you also, Mark, told me before, just before coming on air, that you have some other news to tell me, but you wouldn't tell me what it was.
So let's start with the Square integration, Conal, and the 5,000 euro.
Okay, now Square is Jack Dorsey's company.
Correct.
It is a payment platform.
Correct.
Who uses Square?
Anybody who trades and wants to get paid uses Square.
Okay.
They started off with street traders with one of the little devices, and it was Square. And you could take contactless payment there and then when you sold a coffee on the street or a donut or a hot dog or whatever it might be.
So COVID was good to them, I'd guess, because people didn't have cash and didn't want to touch anything, yeah?
Correct. Yeah, okay. It was very good.
Now, but you have integrated Big Red Cloud with Square?
Yeah, so Square have grown themselves and they're now a full turnkey payments company. And they have...
It's huge.
It's huge. It's absolutely huge, yes.
Jack Dorsey of Twitter is the boss.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So they have a feature which we have integrated into our invoicing, whereby we will enable our customers send out a payment link on the invoices to enable their customers to pay them. So they get paid quicker, cheaper, and on time.
How much quicker? Catherine?
Well, I mean, we haven't released it yet, obviously, but from early studies, we've obviously been testing it and using it ourselves in-house, and it is something that we've used for a couple of months. And realistically, we get paid, I'd say, within 5 days of invoice compared to waiting usually for a check in the post or a bank transfer and salespeople.
Oh, you haven't received it yet? Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'll have to get onto accounts.
Yeah.
5 days. Happy days. Because I am very interested in ISMI, and ISMI's research normally would show, I think, is our payments back about 67 days or some nonsense like that.
Yes, in excess of 67 days. That's correct,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Five days.
Yeah. So, but as the partnership, as a kind of a gift to people who sign up to Big Red Cloud to enable them to use this Square payment link, we are giving the first 5,000 euros worth of transactions with no fees, free of charge.
So that is, kind of roughly speaking, probably worth 100 quid of free.
Yes, but if you multiply it by the amount of customers that we have.
Oh, well, no.
So how many
customers
do you have? We're currently on the cloud of 6,500 companies using the cloud.
But do you have to be a new customer to get this deal?
No. It's going to be offered to all our existing customers. And there's no charge for
it. Catherine has just looked at you to say, have you just made a mistake?
No? Not at all. No, he's absolutely right. To all existing customers.
We've actually just taken on a new sales employee, and her job is to introduce all our customers, existing customers, to these free features that we have.
That's all right. 6,000 times 100. Happy days.
Correct.
Now, talk to me about tablets.
Tablets.
Oh, we're not talking Kinahan's here. Get it?
Yeah, correct. It's not disparate.
We're doing a special offer at the moment for a new business. So any customer who comes on board who purchases a 1 year subscription with us and will receive a free 7-inch Android tablet.
Happy days.
Yes.
How much would a 1 year subscription cost?
For new users, it is for the fair sum of 336 euro ex-VAT.
Sounds like your quid's in already.
It's not a huge expenditure.
And what do you get if you do subscribe for the year?
You get a full account system, so it'll manage all of your invoices, your purchasing, your VAT. As Mark mentioned, we've got the Stripe integration. We have
Square
integration.
Freudian slip there by Catherine.
Oops. We have open banking.
I love live.
First timer.
Please edit that out.
Square
and Square. Firmly Square. There's also included in the package is open banking. So that's obviously a new feature. You know, in the industry at the moment, it's all about automation and making life easier for customers and making your bookkeeping and accounting process quicker so you can get on and focus on the important side of your business. So with open banking, people can actually link directly to their bank accounts. So we've integrated with all the major banks, AIB, Bank of Ireland, TSB, Revolut, etc. And they can pull their transactions directly from their bank into Big Red Cloud and do their reconciliation within a matter of minutes. And just example, one customer the other day who owns a number of restaurants in Limerick, I was talking to her and she's saving over 6 hours a week with her number of restaurants by using open banking.
That's
so
rather
It's a huge, huge time saver. Yeah.
Four times that in a month.
In a month. And that's, yeah.
If you want to do an 8-hour day, that's three working days you just saved.
Yeah. So it's a huge, huge time saver. Oh, yeah. Also eliminates errors and stuff.
It's also the worst part of the business. People who run a restaurant want to run a restaurant, not fill out.
Any business owner you talk to, it's always the bookkeeping and accountancy is the pain point.
I've actually met people who enjoy that part. In fact, I can think immediately of a business down in Wicklow where the guy, his happiest day is sending out the invoice.
Well, that's because you're getting paid. It's probably the rest of the
you're not getting paid.
You're hoping.
And you also have to make up the invoice and.
Sending out the invoice is an easy process, but doing the reconciliation of your payments and receipts from your bank is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And we take that pain away.
That's why there's a woman called Rosemary Reinhardt in my life. But that's a different story. Catherine, you mentioned Revolut. I'm interested in Revolut. Are you seeing many people using Revolut?
Yeah, I think the majority of our customers would still be on the traditional banks, yeah, I suppose, in terms of AIB and Bank of Ireland, etc. But Revolut is definitely, you can see it, you know, coming through more and more along with some of the other.
Because I've just been speaking with Mary McKenna of Tour America, and she was tipping it or suggesting that people carry a Revolut card so that you're not ripped off by exchange rates. Save yourself 2.5%.
Yeah.
And that's a nice tip.
Yeah,
it is. Excellent. I was in New York actually pre-COVID and got the Revolut especially for that reason because it saved you.
Well, that's what I will be doing. So now, Mark, we've given away all the tablets and the 100 quids of free transactions. What else can you tell me?
So, well, for your listeners only, you always like to be the first to announce things.
Yeah.
We are...
And I'm not aware of what you're going to say.
Yeah, you know, you're not. I refused to tell you when you rang me earlier on. We're about to launch in the coming weeks a very simple and easy to use e-commerce website builder, fully integrated with Bigger Cloud. So that'll be the first in the market in Ireland for a website integrated with an accounting package. And it's simple and easy to use.
And who's going to do that for you? Because you're hardly doing it in-house, are you?
Correct. We are doing it in conjunction with a company called Spark2Web. A chap called Darren Costello, who I've known for many, many, many years.
What will it do or who would use that?
So first of all, it's kind of a dummy's guide to setting your website up and your e-commerce site.
Which
for
is
e-commerce.
The important thing.
Well, like the government are putting out €5,000 grants, Connell, to enable businesses.
Do you know that people do not collect those?
Why would they not collect them?
I have no idea.
Is it the paperwork involved in collecting them? Or?
I don't know. And the other one that the Leo's local enterprise offices have a lot of trouble trying to get people to do is to have a website. Forget about an e-commerce website, to have a website. 2,500, from what I remember, is available there as a grant. People not taking
that's,
it.
That's correct.
Yep. Yeah.
So essentially those grants are there available in order to purchase this product off us.
So if I wanted to set up my That Great Business Show e-commerce website, how much would that cost me?
We don't have the prices yet, Connell, because we haven't released it. We're still in talks about how much it'll be.
Well, would it be sub or above or below the grant?
It will be on the money.
Okay, so I'll get it for free.
Well, that grant is, you have to spend 5,000 to get the 2,500.
Oh, you have to get 50-50,
so
isn't it?
Yeah. Essentially, it'll be probably 2,499.
Okay.
But you're online with a full e-commerce website with your products or your services online and integrated fully into Bigger Cloud.
There are 250,000 SMEs out there. Now, obviously, some of them are literally a man and a dog or a woman and a cat. How many businesses, because you must have done the analysis, are a little bit more serious than that, that should be looking at either e-commerce or even using your accounting packages?
Well, we know there's 20 to 25% of businesses still use manual, and manual include Word and Excel. That's not technically using a computer to use your accounts. So do the calculation.
I think we had a chat before. Imagine doing your accounts on Excel. I mean, it's just
mind-boggling.
Do you know, well, I mean, I don't know if I said the story before, Connell, but that's what kicked me off into business to get a simple and easy to use accounting package, because I tripped myself up using Word and Excel. Because it's fine when you have a handful of customers,
yeah,
and then those handful of customers part pay you, mm-hmm, but then you've got X times that number of handful of customers, and those people are part paying you. It gets unwieldy, and you don't know who owes you, and you don't know what you owe. So having an accounting package, in my opinion, gives a business owner far more chance of success and being more profitable if they use any kind of package. I'm not pushing Big Red Cloud, but I just...
But he's just pushing Big Red Cloud.
But we are.
And you're pushing Square, not the other one. Won't even mention the other one. Where is the future? Because one of the big problems I'd have, and everybody else probably has, is hacking. I don't want people able... One thing for sure, if it's paper-based, they can't see my accounts.
They can't, but if you leave those accounts in your briefcase, in your car, and it gets broken into, anybody can have them.
Yeah.
We sit on the Microsoft Azure platform. It's the most secure platform, cloud-based platform in Europe. It got the highest regulation standards. And for €28 a month, we give our customers who are small SMEs, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the most secure platform that heretofore would have only been available to the large multinationals around the world.
Is that €28 just to sit on Azure or Azure or whatever you call it?
No, our product. That's your full accounts, your sales, your invoicing, your purchases, your bank reconciliation, your trading profit loss and balance sheet, and all our support. Catherine failed to mention that earlier on. Sorry, Catherine.
That's okay.
But the single biggest reason customers stay with us, and we have a 96% retention rate, is our customer support. We still give telephone support, unlike our competitors, who now will only give email and live chat support. So we have a person at the end of the phone based in Glenageary in Dublin answering those questions.
Would that person be able to tell me what I should charge for, you know, such and such, or what's the market in, you know, as people are always, when you're tendering, for example.
Yeah. We don't give advice. We answer questions that were asked. But one of those questions would not be how much you tender for XYZ in Taiwan.
What is the, what's the hope now for Big Red Cloud? Because you've done as we always would like to do on That Great Business Show, is you've gone overseas, because, of course, it is overseas. The cloud is over the sea.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've 19 different countries access our software on
that
a daily basis.
That's mad now, isn't it?
It's not.
That's mad. 19. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what being in the cloud...
I think what you told me before was that a lot of that business came from Irish companies that had gone abroad.
Correct. Yeah? Well remembered.
Are you going to try to have a beachhead, for example, in whether it's the UK or Sweden or wherever, to try to build another part of the business over there?
Well, funny you should mention it. During the summer, I was in deep-rooted negotiations with a UK payroll company to buy them to be a jumping block into the UK, because payroll and accounts are like brother and sister. So they had a large customer base of payroll customers, but they didn't sell them accounting software. So we would be able to sell our accounts into the UK. We've also researched...
Hang on a second now. What happened to that? Those talks?
They fell apart.
Ah.
There was a misunderstanding on their behalf as to what software development they needed to do, because we were going to get them to write an Irish version of their cloud payroll to suit our customers. And they didn't listen to the proposal at the start. And when it came to final negotiations, said they weren't going to put that effort in. So they thought we were going to write that part. So it didn't happen. But look, we've also...
No, you're skipping over stuff here. Is how much effort did you put into that?
Yeah, a lot of effort.
I mean, what's a lot?
A couple of months.
Oh, geez.
Like, I mean, you know, not full-time, Conal, because you're back and forth. They weren't available. I wasn't available. And we couldn't fly because of COVID. The two gentlemen that are the principals involved weren't necessarily available all the time. One gentleman was... he loves his camper van, and he wanted to work from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. with any technical issues that might have happened there after the deal was done, and travel around the world. So he was hard to tie down at the best times, and you might get him up on the Norfolk flats or whatever, broads, or whatever it might be, or he could have been over in Guernsey or anywhere. So it was just, so over a period of time, it did take 3 to 4 months of my time.
So what's the next step? If that has fallen through, are you going to go for somebody who's a little bit more sedate, who sits at home doing accounts?
You can't determine who you're going to do business with and what their personality is like. So who the next prospect is, we haven't finalized yet in answer to the question.
Are you scouting, or have you found? Or?
Always.
Okay, who does that for you?
Well, that prospect that I had was done by an intern we got in, who had been on internship in Paris, and because of COVID got turned away, and her dad was in school with me and asked would I help out and take her in, and she was absolutely phenomenal. Catherine will...
Unbelievable for a very young woman to come in. We've had a lot of interns, and she was one of the most impressive.
And did she run away on you again?
she's gone back to college to enjoy life.
We on that great business show had an intern, a marketing intern, and she's gone back to Smurfit as well. God damn you, Smurfit.
No, Kira Curtin was her name. Give her a shout out to Kira Curtin.
Absolutely.
And she'll probably listen to this because she's doing the business management TUD at the moment.
Well, Alana Henry was our lady, and we miss you, Alana. So furthermore, one of the reasons, and I said it at the very, very beginning, about your four daughters and the push you give women in business. Huge issue, Catherine. Women in business.
Yes.
You find it, I don't mean you, one finds it, the gender finds it hard. And it's a mind bender for me because that's more than half the population. There are 51, 52% women in the entire population. So businesses, big, small, good or bad, if they're not embracing women, literally and metaphorically, they're missing out on half of the population.
They're missing out on a lot. They're missing out on a lot of hard, reliable, diligent, intelligent, you know, women, people who could do the job so, so well for them. I think I'm very lucky in the business that I'm in with Mark, obviously, having four daughters. He's very supportive. And I was actually working out in my head on the way here. We have more women in our office now than men. We've taken over again.
And at a senior level, because you're COO.
I am, yeah. I came into the business 17 years next week, would you believe, fresh out of college. Said I'd do sales for a little while and here I am 17 years later. So yeah, at management level, absolutely.
Tips for those who would like to follow in your footsteps.
To me, honestly, I think it's about, you know, college obviously is fantastic and you know, getting that experience and having the degree. But genuinely, I think it's about experience. So, you know, if you're in college or if you're just finishing college, try and get some experience.
I'm trying to remember because I do always look it up. You were in IADT, were you?
I was. I did business studies entrepreneurship. So it's kind of focused on small businesses and starting your own business.
Many of those colleges, and I always go on about Carlo because they have fantastic courses as well. There are so many hidden courses for those who would like to get into business that they all say, no, UCD and Trinity or whatever, but people should really check out other colleges. It hasn't held you back, has it?
100%. No, and I absolutely loved going there. It was very small at the time.
Still is as well.
Yeah, exactly. And our course was, I think we were the second or third year doing it, so it was still quite fresh. And I enjoyed that environment of kind of, I suppose, you're not in a massive lecture hall. It was very more one-on-one. I only met my accounting lecturer there recently, and you know, we were having the chat. So, you know, that kind of environment definitely suited me as well, more so than maybe the bigger colleges would have. So,
what are the top tips for women to try to climb the greasy pole?
The top tips, I suppose, just be true to yourself.
What does that mean?
You know, don't pretend to be something you're not just to get ahead. You know, I think, you know, if you're a hard worker and if you put in the groundwork from the start, that'll show. And, you know, if you, and I don't mean working 8 till 10 at night or any of that kind of stuff.
I was just going to ask that question, is what do you define as hard work?
I suppose just when you're there, you're present, you know, and that's something I've always been in the office. I work 4 days a week. I'm very lucky. I have my day off on a Friday, and I say that in the loosest sense of the term, because obviously I have other things to be doing. And when I'm in the office, I am there and I'm committed. And I'm engaged.
Oh, wait, I'll tell you a story. This is something that happened only a few weeks ago. Do you remember the Facebook outage?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They finally worked out in the States that, I don't know how they did the maths on this, but there is, roughly speaking, people are on Facebook in the office for 2 hours a day.
What?
What is anybody? Is there a manager not managing? Or do people not? I actually don't use Facebook, so why would you spend 2 hours of your life a day wasted?
I know, it's crazy.
What are you looking at?
And like, you've got a fun in business, because business, I find business interesting and fun. Absolutely. Of course it's tough, but like playing a good game of football or something, you know, it's Fun. Absolutely. A few knocks and all. Yeah. Sorry,
that's phenomenal.
Sorry, I brought you there. I brought you down a little rabbit hole there. No, because that's I'm always interested in those kind of things of your version of hard work. For example, I'm going to switch it over. Mark, what's your version of hard work?
Well, I'd collaborate what Catherine said there. Hard work is actually being dedicated to the role you've been given within the business and given it 100%.
Now, you are one of these Ironmans or triathletes or
correct.
Whatever.
Yep.
So you're kind of, I'm going to use a word that you're not going to like. You're odd. As in,
I'm very odd.
Anybody who does that stuff is odd.
Oh.
Like your dedication is...
It's above the scale.
For those who do not know what an Ironman does, what does it... Are there Iron Women as well, are there?
Of course there are.
Okay.
It's just a term.
But what is an Ironman?
There'll be Iron Person now in future,
okay, I would imagine.
It's a 3.8K swim.
Okay.
A 100...
In the sea.
In the... Well, it depends. It could be a lake.
Oh, well,
depends on the location.
It's still effing cold. That's all I know.
Oh, yeah, it can be cold. So 3.8 kilometre swim, a 180 kilometre cycle in the mountains generally.
I'm going to have to sit down.
And a full marathon, a 42.2 kilometre run, all back to back.
So, nuts.
Yeah.
Why do you do it?
Well, I stay fit to stay focused. It helps me in the business. I'm sharp all the time. And I have a very competitive nature. And so it kind of feeds that competitiveness. Not that I'm ever going to be, you know, competing at Ironman level in terms of being on the podium, but you compete against yourself and you try and do a personal best every time you go out.
Wow. But back to the other question, now that we know what kind of a person you are, what's your idea of hard work? 7 days a week, 10 hours a day?
100% not. So if your company hours are 9 to 5.30, that's the time you should put the hard work in. I don't expect anybody to work after 5:30. And I feel if they're working after 5:30, they haven't been doing something they should have been doing during the day. And I learned that when I worked for Panasonic, where I found that trainee Japanese gentlemen and women who had come in from Japan to work in the offices here in Panasonic in Dublin stayed till 10 o'clock at night to show loyalty to the business. But the Japanese managing director at the time, Tony Tanimoto, respected me because I got all my work done between 9 and 5.30 and then I had to go off to go rugby training, or I was doing a marketing degree at night, or I was in a music society and I was rehearsal. So I went at 5:30, but he knew I had done all my work and he respected me more than he respected his Japanese colleagues.
That's an interesting lesson, isn't it?
Yes. One thing just to add that I suppose I learned from Mark early on as well is surround yourself in terms of your team and pass on the knowledge. So it's spread out, you know what I mean? So if I'm not there, I know there's someone I can trust, so I'm never going to hold on to everything myself to be that one woman in the company who can do certain things. If I'm not there, which I haven't been for periods of time, obviously, there's always people who can take over and be able to do the role that I do as well. And I don't feel threatened by that because I know they're there to support me and likewise I'm there to support them.
Couple of final questions, because one of them will be the outlook for your business, given that hopefully COVID is going, mind you, the news at the moment, it's another dip, but let us say that we're getting back to something very close to normal. What is 2022, first time I've asked this question actually, what does 2022 look like for you?
Well, just so your listeners know, luckily for us, COVID played into our hands because of the adoption for digital services. So we had accountants that were working from home that needed to take out Bigger Cloud as opposed to our original product, which is Bigger Book, which is a desktop. So it played into our hands from that point of view. With the automation that we're now putting into the product, we see more and more adoption of our software because it makes small business owners more efficient, more cost effective and more accurate. And so bigger adoption of our product and new markets, hopefully, if I find another chap in a camper van.
And the forecast for 2022, like some of the forecasts for GDP growth here aren't off the scale. You know, you've seen 8s, you've seen 15s. None of them really make any sense. But in you're dealing with SMEs. What are you seeing? What do you think you might see next year in terms of growth?
Well, I can only talk about my own growth. So our growth in 2020 versus 2019 in the height of COVID was 30% over the previous year.
Oh,
and now we're in 2021
and
we're 27.5% ahead so far over last year.
Ah, you're lagging.
So
you're
somewhere between 25 and 30% is my prediction.
Jesus, that's not bad. Okay, that's a catch the hand done.
Conal, can I just say that, you know, you did say I was mad, but you can't be as mad as I am without the support of a good wife. So, and four daughters.
Four daughters.
So they do let me away with it. And the other reason why I find working with female colleagues is that I, with all due respect to the gentlemen out there listening, that I do feel they can multitask and men can't.
Okay.
So you're getting bang for your buck when you employ an LAD.
I'm not going to disagree with that comment.
I can multitask. And I mean, make a mean lasagna. Now, next, I better just get back to the giveaways. Who gets the tablets? The...
Any new user who takes out a contract for a year.
Okay. So that's the one where your quid's in no matter what.
336 euro and a free tablet.
And the value of the tablet is 99 euros.
So, and you get your accountancy package as well. The other one, which is the square.
Yes, the
not
square.
The other one.
Nope, not the other one. Okay. Square. Firmly on square.
And if somebody signs up to square, do I have to pay to use square to get onto square, or what's the deal there? No.
No, no, you sign up for Bigger Cloud and the link, the Square link will automatically be in it. So all you have to do is go through your KYC, which is Know Your Customer, and the AML documentation in order to, because you're accepting.
What's the AML?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that.
Well, I didn't even know.
It's the legal side of signing up to Square, because obviously you're accepting payments.
Put.
So therefore you have to go through some sort of...
Because you're using a payment.
But the simplest platform. I mean, it's only form filling stuff.
Yeah. It's your proof of address and your ID.
And
basically.
Probably some blood samples and everything else.
Not quite thing. Blood samples, no.
that's the big pitch. Final question always is hire in a heartbeat. Who wants to take that? Or do both of you want to take one each? Or?
Well, I'll take it first and Catherine might think about it. I want to give it to.
Catherine. You were sent you weren't sent an email because it bounced back to me. Anyway, so
I want to keep it homegrown,
yes.
Connell. And John Purdy of Ergo would be my choice.
Why?
John grew from very humble beginnings. He started off supplying laser toner cartridges and grew the business to be what it is today. He also had a spin-off, which is Finergo, which his nephew ran. And he had the wherewithal to give his nephew the enough rope to go and run it himself, and that's now going to be one of our unicorns, I believe.
It's phenomenally successful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see the Fen Ergo. Okay, now I see, yeah.
Correct, yeah. And John has now stepped out of the CEO role in Ergo to chairman after 25 years, I think it is. So my vote would go to John. I think he's a phenomenally intelligent man and has run a hugely successful, many hugely successful businesses over the last 20 to 30 years.
Okay, well done, John. John Purdy of Ergo. You're hard.
You should get him on.
I'd love to.
Yeah, you should do.
John Purdy of Ergo, please join us on that great business show. Catherine, you've had 2.5 seconds to think about this.
I will.
And you can choose anybody.
Well, I'd be sticking with the women, obviously. I would go with a lady actually who I saw at an event a couple of years ago. It was one of the Women Mean Business events, and it's Marissa Carter, who created Coco Brown, tanning products, a hugely successful homegrown.
I interviewed her for Enterprise Ireland back a long time ago.
Phenomenal.
Just grown and grown and grown and grown. And I think that I see she was doing something another step up again recently.
I think it's kind of evolved obviously into, a lot more than just tanning.
And she's all over the world.
Can I just say that with four daughters, there's lots of Coco Brown around the house. If they could do something about the smell, it would be great.
I know something about this. The smell of that stuff has improved exponentially. It used to smell of cabbage. And now it doesn't. So
maybe, getting there.
Maybe you bought some old stock, maybe. Mark. Mark O'Dwyer and Catherine Lockhart of Big Red Cloud, thank you so much for joining us on that great business show. And that is it from the Great Business Show, episode 58, number 58. And speaking of big numbers, I have to give a shout out to my big brother, Owen O'Moran, who celebrates a big birthday today. Today's Captain Kirk in the control room was Rob Curry, and later Major Tom, a.k.a. Peter Rice, will be firing up the thrusters. See what I'm doing here? I'm kind of, to make us the world's best-sounding podcast. Nanu, nanu to you both. And Catherine, you don't even know.
I do. Robin Williams.
Mork.
Loved it.
And those pilots of the airwaves, the team here at the Dublin Podcast Studios, are open for business to record your podcast. And we, a team GBS, partner with them to produce world-class podcasts for others, including the Love Irish food brands. Get in touch for more information. And of course, that great business show is easily the most cost-effective way of telling Irish SMEs about your products and or services. contact us about carrying your ads. And finally, my thanks to our sponsor, DeFactoShave.com, the world's best shaving oil. Try it for just a week, and like me, you will be a forever convert with baby soft skin. So from me, Conal O'Mora, until the next time, Slán tamar.